Well, as you said, I spent, you know, a number of years in South Sudan. I spent, you know, 3 very happy years living in High Malakal in Juba and being able to travel around all of the country at a time when, of course, you know, South Sudan was full of so much hope. I first came to live in South Sudan around 2009, so in the run-up to the referendum for independence and then, of course, independence itself. But it was actually more recently, over a year ago, about now, I was in Bentiu, in the Protection of Civilians camp in Bentiu, and an elderly gentleman beckoned me over and was asking me what I was doing, because I was working as a reporter and writing down you know, the stories and the accounts and the problems that the people were facing inside the POC camp in Bentiu. And he shouted at me, he said, "Owaja, Owaja, what are you doing? You're always writing, but you never, nothing changes, nothing comes of benefit." Mm-hmm. And I tried to explain to him that as a journalist, it's sometimes difficult to make change directly. And but that hopefully through the stories, the people who do have power or influence might be able to change the situation for the better. And then the elderly man, yes, he spoke to me and he said, "Well, you know, don't worry. This is what the Hawaja do. They come in and they write stories and they go away again." So I've got notebooks after notebooks, huge amounts of them from over 10 years, I suppose, of reporting on South Sudan and being based in Khartoum in the north too, in Sudan as well. So I thought, well, now I have some time, it'd be a good idea to try and put some of these stories down on paper before they're forgotten, before they're lost. Because it was such a special time in South Sudan's history, and to make that information available for others to read and to understand and to get a better understanding of what is happening both in South Sudan today, but also how it got to this situation, how it won its independence, and then how it ended up in the problems and the troubles and the situation today, so that hopefully, maybe, there might be a way forward in the future to see more improvement or a better chance for the future again.
Right. Is this your first book? And if yes, how does it make you feel?
It is my first book. And it's a big challenge to do a book. And I hope I've got most of the things right. I'm sending it around some very old South Sudanese friends to check that I've got the facts and the views and opinions seem to be largely right.
Mm-hmm.
And how does it make me feel? Well, you know, quite nervous, to be honest. This is the story I'm writing is telling the story of South Sudan from the very beginning. So over 3,000 years ago, all the way up to the situation today. And that's quite a big responsibility and a big challenge, because although all your listeners listening to the program will know the history of South Sudan, mm-hmm. I suppose my book is also intended to be read by foreigners coming to the country, maybe as aid workers, maybe as UN peacekeepers, maybe as diplomats, or maybe just people outside who are interested. And it's a way for people that know nothing about South Sudan that they might be able to pick up a book and read something that will explain them in a little way about what makes this country so special and what makes the people of South Sudan so very dear to my heart.
Yes, tell us a little bit about this book, the key characters in the book, dominant themes, messages, or anything you can tell us about the content of this book.
Sure, well, as I said, it goes from an ambitious book, from the dawn of time to the crisis of today. But I've been going back. It's not an academic read. It's not something that would be in a university as such. It's not a history book like that. I've been trying to go back and talk to the people who have seen the key moments. So I witnessed independence, and I witnessed the referendum in Juba. But I was always wondering, so in Bor in 1983, when the war began in 1983, how did it start? And you can find many books that will tell you the reasons that war broke out again in 1983. But I'd never read how the actual fight went down in Mawo Chak, and just south of Bor town. So I went to Bor earlier this year, and I met with some of the generals there who told me exactly what happened on the day when the SPLA started the war against Khartoum. But it goes back further to the Anyanya One, to the stories of General Joseph Lagu and how he began in the 1960s. Then even beyond that, I've been meeting some of the British colonial officers who were overseeing the independence of Sudan, and many of whom have been saying they were angry and frustrated that South Sudan was joined to North Sudan when the British left in 1965. Mm-hmm. So it's telling people's stories as they remember it. So hopefully something that brings alive a lot of history that was more than just the dates and the battles, but people's stories.
Right. So what has been the biggest obstacle bringing the book to light?
Well, on a logistical basis, I think I've taken a break from my job in Nairobi, and I was hoping to be able to spend many, many months in South Sudan, and I used to have a Senke motorbike in Juba, so I was hoping to borrow a Senke motorbike and drive around South Sudan and camp and stay, but of course, the situation of the last couple of years with the violence and the conflict has meant that's been a very difficult thing to do. Security has been an issue. But it's just an enormous amount of information, I think. Mm-hmm. I realized writing a history of a country, there are so many books, some here in Nairobi. There are many people to talk to. There are archives in Khartoum, in the UK as well. So such an enormous amount of information and stories and photographs to read through to make sure that what I write it reflects accurately, what happened on the ground. And I'm still going through that process, but I've still got a little way to go, and then hopefully the book will be out early next year is the plan.
Yes, I was coming to that actually. How long did it take you to write this book, and when does it hit the bookstores?
Well, I've been sitting down at my desk here in Nairobi and traveling around to do research, but I've been properly writing it for just over a year now. But I suppose in many ways it's taken me 10 or 11 years to write, because it's based on all the stories. Ever since I first came to South Sudan in 2005 and went out to, during the LRA peace talks actually, I went out to meet the LRA. It was my first ever trip to South Sudan. So over 10 years to write in a way. And hopefully next year, the book is being advertised now. It's sort of almost ready, and the cover is being designed. But there's still some editorial checks and things like that to do. So hopefully early next year, sometime next year, the book will be out. But I'll make sure to call you guys again and let you know when copies might be available in Juba Town at some point.
That would be great.
And I hope to let everyone know then when the book is available to buy and to read.
Right. So finally, if you could pass on a single piece of advice to upcoming writers, what would it be?
Wow. I think just to sit down and try and write. I spent many, many weeks thinking that what I had to write had to be brilliant. But then I wouldn't even get anything down on the paper. So at the end of the day, I had nothing to write. So I thought, if it's not perfect, it's not worth doing.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, of course, you just have to write, and then later you can come back and change it. So if you've got a dream of writing, I suppose the big thing is just to sit down and start and actually try and do it, and then see what you've got afterwards.
Peter, thank you so much for talking to us this morning. We really do appreciate your time.
And thank you very much to all of you in Juba. God bless you all.